Hello and welcome to your Divine Uniqueness show. If you'd like to listen to live episodes and interact with our speakers, you can go to yourdivineuniqueness.com. Your YOUR divine DIVINE uniqueness UNIQUENESS.com. Hello everyone. This is Monsef Afker and thank you so much for joining us in this new call of your divine uniqueness. So very excited that you're here with us, that we connect with you here on the show again. And also thank you for those who will listen to the replay. And today's call, I'm really excited about it with Alana Pratt. She's doing really, really amazing work about helping others to really connect deeply with oneself and with the other. With the partner, and in a way that's really finding this real connection, the truth within us, and in relation with the divine, and really reflect them in the relationships that we are having with other people, which really brings so much harmony and truth in our life and the life of others. So I'm very, very excited. We will be talking about relationships, intimacy, and awakening. Also, we'll have a Q&A later on the call. So for that, if you are on the web call or on the phone, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. And if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your questions on the question box. And so before we start, I will share a little bit about Alana. So intimacy expert Alana Pratt is a global media personality and go-to authority for those who have suffered heartbreak and are ready to live unapologetically and attract an open-hearted ideal relationship. She has been chosen as an icon of influence, is a columnist on the Good Men Project, and has been featured on Huffington Post, People Magazine, Forbes, CBS, ABC, and Fox, and more. And she is the author of 6 books and has created a new category with an inclusive partnering app and intimacy training called Heartmates.app, where members to become the one to find the one which keeps the one. And so with that, Alana, welcome to the show. Very happy to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. I am just drinking in your sexy accent, Monsef. I'm already having so much fun. So you are a divine, unique expression of yummy. And so thank you for having me here. And thank you that we can dive deep into what really, really matters. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So very excited about the call. And so before we start our discussion, would you like to share maybe more about yourself and how you started helping others in this field?
Yeah, well, Monsef, I give that which I was seeking. I think we are often here to teach what we're here to learn. And so I became an intimacy expert because I really needed help in my own intimate relationship with myself. I, on the outside, maybe looked good, like I was a model. I was a cum laude graduate of an Ivy League school. I interviewed these celebrities. You know, I had my first marriage to a very tall, dark, and handsome multimillionaire. Like, it all looked good on the outside. But on the inside, I was deeply insecure, very much a PhD in people-pleasing. And I would say yes when I meant no, anything not to be rejected, anything to feel safe, anything to get love and keep love. And not that my first husband was a bad man or anything, but he wanted to marry me, and I never asked if I wanted to marry him. I was just grateful somebody wanted me. And so I just pushed away many truths. I pushed away my authentic expression. And I just became who he wanted me to be. I lost myself. And after we went to counseling and workshops, and I started to learn this whole world of personal growth. And there was an inside to me. I didn't know I was spinning so fast on the outside trying to get safety that I didn't even know I had a heart, a soul, an inside. And when I looked on the inside, Monsef, I didn't like what I found. I was insecure. Right. I was terrified. I was feeling not good enough. So then I tried even harder on the outside to look good and be in control. So after my first marriage ended, I thought, okay, this damsel in distress, insecure one, like screw her. It's almost like there was a little Alana I hit with a 2x4 and I said, shut up, look good. And I tried even harder and I became quite masculine, controlling. And I was going to make my next relationship happen. And of course that didn't work either. And I met somebody when my mother was dying of cancer and I didn't have the courage or capacity to feel that pain. I just wanted to cover it up, have a man was a plan, a man and a baby, and I'm going to be fine. So I found my second husband and that one ended in a year. So there I was, a motherless, single mom, divorced with a very angry ex, and the only one in common was me. And so I started doing even more work, personal growth work, taking responsibility that I was creating all of this. And I learned how to love not just my triumphant, magnificent, clever, beautiful parts. I learned to love. First, I learned to accept. Then I learned to love my insecure, unworthy, wobbly parts until I came home to my true self. I literally created an intimate relationship with myself. You call this divine uniqueness, like my divine, I loved myself like the divine loved me. The divine doesn't judge me. The divine loves me unconditionally, without condition. If I'm sad, the divine loves me. If I'm ashamed, the divine loves me. And I learned how to do that myself. And then everything inside got quite quiet, calm, peaceful. And then it grew into confidence and full self-expression and healthy boundaries. And then it grew into this feminine, alluring, invitational, conscious, badass, dorky queen who I am today. And my business began to really thrive, and I fell in love with the most magnificent man, and I'm able to help others attract their, I call it a heartmate. We often think of soulmates, Monsef, you know, oh, I want my soulmate. But I believe I did find two soulmates. My wound attracted another wound, two shadows, two wounds, two, you'll complete me, you know, people came together in a soulmate relationship that, yes, it was good for growth, but it ended up blowing up. And so I said, there's got to be something else. And so now I call it a whole mate, or with my partnering app, it's called Heartmate. Heartmate.app is our partnering app, where we're about two whole people coming together, not to complete each other, but to complement one another, to awaken each other's, just like your title, to awaken each other's divine uniqueness so that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Like we're literally more and better being in a relationship. And that's my life, my business, and the impact I'm here to make with humanity.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing about that. And it's really inspiring because like looking within takes lots of courage because it's about taking full responsibility of what we create. And in general, like in partnership, like we try just to find like a savior, someone who will be perfect and just feel understood and loved. But in general, like what we find is that people will always treat us the way we treat ourselves. So if we love ourselves, the other will love us. If we neglect ourselves, so we will not find this savior. It's our responsibility to do that. And also it takes lots of focus because what happens when the other person trigger us, or we find like find the relationship very challenging is like we try to see elsewhere that like we blame that person, and then we look for another one, and then the same pattern happens again and again. And so it's
you're
easy.
Right.
In general, it's very easy to blame other than learn how to focus on ourselves through the challenge.
Yes, you're so right. I say it takes big girl panties or big girl big boy boxer shorts. You've got to be mature. You've got to be mature to really do the work. The first time, Monsef, I started to take responsibility, as I said, I saw my insecurities and then I judged myself. So taking responsibility doesn't mean judging yourself. It means owning it with compassion. That, hey, I'm doing my best based on how I was raised and what I learned. And I'm going to continue to do my best and learn a better way and stop blaming the other and start cultivating my own inner self-appreciation so I can be appreciated on the outside. My self-value so I can be valued on the outside. My self-respect so I can be respected on the outside. The inside always creates the outside. And it can be very humbling. My second husband was a very, very angry man. We went to court for 12 years in a custody battle.
Wow.
That's over a decade. And he wanted to take our child away from me, and he wasn't going to stop. But I would blame him, Monsef, that he's the only angry one, and I'm the enlightened one. But you know what? That wasn't the truth. My anger had a different form. It was more passive-aggressive, condescending, but underneath it all, I was still angry at my dad, angry at God, angry at myself. I just had all of this spiritual mumbo-jumbo to try to cover it up. But what I encourage the listeners to consider is if there's a repeating pattern on the outside in your partners, be brave, be humble, be compassionate, and find that place within you that's the same. And if you can heal that, and I have many ways to help you with that, when you heal that, you will no longer be attracted to or vibrationally allure in somebody with that same angry or whatever the pattern is, and you will be free. And not only that, you will attract your new relationship with yourself that will be mirrored on the outside. If you have patience for yourself, you'll attract a patient partner. If you have compassion for yourself, you won't be judged by your partner. You will attract a great listener. And so do the work. There's no way through but through. There's no magic pill or I'd be a multi-millionaire. The only way through is through.
Right, exactly. I really love that. And how to say it? When we are in a partnership, so sometimes like things happen, like we may feel triggered because like we have our past, we have past traumas that we are still healing. And if the partner like behave in a way that we don't like, in general, we try to communicate right away by reacting so they can feel bad about what they do. But in general, what I realize is when we try to align first with ourselves, then if we feel to communicate, then we communicate. And sometimes what happens is that we don't feel the need to communicate anymore because there is some freedom happening. Like whether the situation changes or not, it's the same. But it really takes time to practice this. So how to know when to communicate and when we don't need to communicate?
Yeah, it's a great question. What I've created in my partnering app that's called HeartMate, it has three parts. And one of the parts we call conscious connection. And we practice communicating in a very special form that doesn't allow for conflict, doesn't allow for fighting. It creates safety, authenticity, vulnerability, and connection. And what it's called, it doesn't really matter the name of it, but we call it dyads. Dyads are a two-way communication where one of the rules when somebody talks to you is all you get to say is thank you. And thank you doesn't even mean I agree. It just means I heard you. And a lot of times when we're communicating and we get into a conflict, our ego wants to be right, look good, dominate, be safe. But underneath all of that, our heart and soul just wants to be heard. We just want to be gotten. And so a lot of times conflict never happens if you can just get and understand the other person. So I'm going to ask you, Monsef, if you'll practice with me just for like 5 minutes. Could we practice and give them a taste?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So the first question, so there's three questions we do them on Fridays. The Conscious Connection calls on Fridays. But we go for 30 minutes with three different questions, and the three different questions change every week. But we'll just do simple ones. So the first question, Monsef, I would say, tell me something you like about me. So go ahead. What do you like about me?
The energy, like energetic, fun to talk to.
Thank you. And then you ask me, you say, Alana, tell me something you like about me.
Alana, tell me something you like about me.
Monsef, I like that you have taken the time, energy, and resources to create this beautiful series about divine uniqueness and impact the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd say thank you. Thank you. Okay, so this is question number one. And we'd go back and forth maybe 5 minutes. And then, so now we'll go on to the next question. So the next question, tell me something you think we align on, Monsef.
That relationship is about first the connection with ourselves, and then give that gift to the other that we relate to.
Thank you. And then you ask me, Alana, tell me something you think we align on.
Alana, tell me something that we align on.
Yeah, something, and I could be wrong, but I think we align on our heart's mission to live our best life and support others in having their best life.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just say, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, maybe you disagree, but the idea in a dyad is understanding the other. The purpose of a dyad is not to be right or have control. It's just to listen and understand. And so the third question, this is where it gets good for relationships that have conflict. Most of the time, it's that you feel misunderstood and you go batshit crazy. You're like, they don't get it, right? So the third question is this. So Monsef, tell me something you want me to understand that you think I may not fully understand. See, maybe you have to make it up a little bit right now, but go for it.
Okay. Something you may not understand. I don't know. Yeah, just make something. So maybe it's that it's the relationship. It's what happened. Like in challenge is 100% our responsibility, and the others are not responsible of what we create.
Thank you. And then you would ask me. Tell me something you want me to understand that you think I may not fully understand. You can ask me.
Alana, tell me something. I understand that you may not understand the way I do it.
Yes, thank you. And so then I would respond. So let's pretend we're dating, right? I might say something like, something I want you to understand that you may not fully understand is that when I'm making dinner, a special dinner, and I said I would have it ready for you at 7:00, but you don't come home until 7:30 and you don't text me to tell me you're late. Something I want you to understand is that my heart is crushed, and then I get afraid thinking, I know it's crazy, but I think you're with another woman and I think you don't love me. And normally in a relationship, Monsef, that's the moment where someone would go, but I do love you, and why do you always blah, blah, blah. But all you get to say in a dyad is what?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. And so we learn to sit in the fire. We learn to burn. We learn to not react, not justify, not defend, and really hear that the other person's heart was crushed. And then you don't, in a dyad, so we would go back and forth with that third question for maybe 20 minutes, seeking understanding. Mm-hmm. And what happens over time is that instead of reacting and justifying or blaming the other, you hear what's underneath the upset. You hear the pain that you unknowingly caused another. And then so next time that you're coming home, you get to choose, all this person needs is for me to text them and they're happy. I can do that. And you start to really honor and respect one another. And so this form of dyads we teach in HeartMates every Friday, so that in those moments when there's a time that would normally be a fight, you can practice dropping deeper than the anger, dropping deeper than the accusation, and opening your heart and burning in the fire and speaking from kindness, compassion, authenticity, transparency, vulnerability. And the partner who's practicing also receives that communication without interrupting or making each other wrong. And you'd be amazed. I literally have coached a couple. They were married 28 years, Monsef. This is like a private VIP couple that I work with.
Yeah.
And I made them do a dyad, and they heard each other for the first time in 28 years and started crying because they would just talk over each other. They would just battle. Yeah. They wouldn't listen, and thus they couldn't have care or empathy for each other. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It's simple but profound.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, like the communication, like the communication in the right way can really create some magic in the relationship. Thank you so much for sharing about that. And also another point is that we want to answer to be in a relationship because we have expectation of feeling loved and understood. But also, should we include our partner in all our issues, asking them to be present and help us, or sometimes there are some issues that we need to heal on our own and take our own responsibility, because it also drains the other energy when we include them in everything.
Mm. You make a really good point. I specifically call my boyfriend lover on purpose. When I walk home at the end of my work day and I walk through the door, I say, hello, lover. And because it trains me, I'm not his mother, I'm not his mentor, I'm not his coach, I'm his lover. And so it inspires him to go to his mentors, his mastermind, his men's group, his coach. And then when we do have these dyads or conversations, it has to do with our relationship. And he can still ask my advice. And I still ask his advice. He's a very wise man. But I don't make it his job to make me feel better. It's not his job to make me happy. It's not his job to heal me. I might ask him to hold me and have a good cry. I might ask him to, could you just listen without giving me a solution and make me feel heard? But I don't put too much pressure on him to do that. I have three coaches. I have an energy worker, a yoga teacher. I have all these different people that help me so that I can show up as my best self. And I don't purposely hide things from him. Like, I don't pretend I'm happy when I'm sad. I'm still authentic. But I want to make sure our dynamic is one of lovers, not one of mother, father, teacher, mentor, to keep the spark alive and to take responsibility for my own stuff.
I really love that. Because when we try to include the others in everything, it's sometimes it makes the relationship a little bit difficult. And also, like, when many times it happens, like both partners, they have very different desire. And what happens is that everyone tries to convince the other, but by their own opinions or desire, instead of trying to find a solution when both they can have what they want, even though they are those desires are very different. So what would be your advice in those cases?
Well, I like to choose a win-win solution. What would make both of us feel fulfilled? You can't agree on everything. You can agree to disagree, or you can create a win-win situation. And it's not wrong or bad or a problem if you can't agree on everything. Allowing one person to do something one way and another person to do something another way doesn't mean you have to break up. There's a concept of allowance. For me, allowance doesn't mean I necessarily like something or prefer something, but I allow it. Like literally just for the last, how many days? 3 days. My boyfriend has been going through some emotional stuff. And he has been sleeping in, not talking, spending time alone, quite quiet during dinner, and very lethargic. And I am not making him wrong. I did ask on day one, is there anything I've done that has offended you, or do you just need some space? And he said, thanks for asking. I just need some space. So for 3 days, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't prefer it. I didn't like it. I had to soothe my little Alana, who was taking it personally and making up all sorts of stories in my head. Oh, he doesn't love me anymore, and he's thinking of leaving me. Like, oh, my mind will make up all sorts of stories. But I practiced allowance. I'm allowing him the space he needs. He's going through something. Just focus on myself, take care of myself, and give him space. It's okay. I can be in allowance of this. And then this morning, I had to get up early. I went to go get my driver's license renewed. And so the alarm was very early, but 5 minutes before the alarm, he came in and he spooned me in bed, and he hasn't really reached out to touch me for a couple days. And I said, oh, he's back. And then this morning, as I was leaving, I said, you know, thank you for spooning me this morning. And I wanted you to know that I gave you the gift of trust over these last 3 days. And he put his hand over his heart and he said, thank you. Thank you for not fixing me, forcing me to talk, making me wrong, being needy, doing anything. You just let me be. Thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. Because it was hard, Monsef. I had to work at it. But that's an example of, you don't always have to agree on everything. You can be gracious with your partner and they'll come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because sometimes being able to hold that space in that way, it can be the best gift that we can give to the other person, and we allow them to go through their process, and then we connect deeply after that. I really love that. And I remind everyone that we will start taking questions a little bit. So if you are on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. And if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your questions on the question box. And also, I would love to talk about sexuality, sexual relationship. And from your perspective, what is a healthy sexual relationship? Because sometimes it's what happens, like it can be an expression of love. Some other times it's more about just stress relief. There isn't this deep connection. And I would love if you can tell us your perspective about that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very much about, I guess we could call it sacred sexuality, where sex is a meaningful, deeper expression of authenticity. It's a safe place to show up unapologetically. It's nourishing, not just to the pleasure centers of your body, but it's nourishing to your heart and your soul. And it doesn't always have to be that way. It can be a quickie that's just sort of fun, you know, right before you go someplace. It doesn't always have to be so deep. But I encourage people to recognize that sex is more than just two body parts coming together to relieve stress. It can be so much more fulfilling and nourishing than that. And it can really be a teacher. It can be a spiritual, like a church, like a sanctuary for yourself to heal wounds, to express frustration, to welcome naughty places where you have been judged before, where you can be accepted and respected. It's a beautiful experience. In fact, in HeartMate, my curriculum, the first part of the curriculum is very much about healing the heart, healing anger, healing taboos, healing everything, because we want to come from wholeness with our partner so that our relationship works. And quite often, sex is one of the biggest triggers of past rejection or abandonment or abuse. So I don't lead with sacred sexuality. Part two of the curriculum, we go into Tantra and sacred sexuality, because it's also our sacred sexuality when that energy flows through our body, and it's not just body parts. It's like this whole energy. This is the same energy that fuels our purpose, our gifts, our talents, our genius, our aliveness, our reason for getting up in the morning. It's what fuels our vitality, our youthfulness, our aliveness. It's this life force energy that makes us feel happy for no reason and home in our skin, at peace in our soul. It's a very powerful life force energy that flows through us. So I find that all areas of life get better when the sex works. And likewise, all areas of life are not as successful when the sex is not working. So I believe it's a very beautiful practice to make a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And like you said, it's also like a healing process, because many times, like when we want to please the partner, it can happen out of love, because we love our partner and we want it. It's like being in service to them. And some other times it's just because we have many insecurities and we try to please them so we can feel more confident or good about ourselves. So
yeah.
Also the source from where we start, I feel it's very, very important here.
Totally, totally, yeah. A lot of times I talk about the difference between being in your head and being in your heart, or being in your head or being in your body. When we're in our head, we're often trying to look good, do it right, be loved, feel enough, like we're trying to get something. And a lot of times when we try to get something, we try to control something, and people feel that and they pull away. And it's not safe or attractive to be themselves. And yet when we're in our hearts and in our bodies and we do our work and we heal our wounds and we are present, then we don't need anything. We can choose to please our partner, but we don't need to please our partner in order to feel okay. We can give from the overflow, and same with them. They can also give from the overflow. So if you have two people that are willing to do their personal growth work and be full and give from the overflow to one another sexually, you can give and receive. You can literally let go of thoughts. You can literally get to places where you don't know where you end and they begin. And it's just pure expression and bliss. And maybe all of a sudden you cry, or all of a sudden you orgasm, or all of a sudden you're still, or all of a sudden you're crazy. Like, whatever, everything is okay. It can become a space of unconditional love. And so it's a wonderful teaching tool of, when do I go back to my head and think about the grocery list? When do I go into my head and think, oh my God, are they liking it? Do they like me? Do they think I'm fat? Like, and then bring yourself back to your heart, breathe, and start again. And you can even have these conversations with your partner. If you have a conscious relationship, you can stop and just say, hey, just a minute. I'm in my head. I'm trying to please you right now. Just give me a minute. Let me come back. Just put your hand on my heart, if you would. Help me come back and be myself and be real. And you can invite each other without judgment back into your body and back into the moment. And over time, my goodness, the safety and intimacy that's possible is breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And also, it's like here also, like, communication is very important. So thank you so much, Alana. And also, are offering a free gift, which is the intimacy blind spots assessment. And everyone, I really invite you to sign up and do the assessment. And you will find it on the page yourdivineuniqueness.com/Alana. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Alana. ALLANA. Or you can click on the assessment button, which is on the webcast page, or later on the replay page. So, Alana, I would love if you can tell us more about that.
Yes, blind spots. Basically, all of us have them, me included. Even though I've been doing this work for 20 years, I still have blind spots. And so we all do our best to succeed in relationships, but we can't see what we can't see. We don't know what we don't know. And so this quiz shows you the underlying reason of why you're having a continued sabotaging pattern, getting abused, getting cheated on, not having emotional availability with a partner, not able to orgasm, whatever the issue is. It gives you direction into the underlying reason of what's going on. Because if you could have figured it out, you would have already changed it, right? So this will help you take your power back and give you direction into how you can heal these different blind spots so that you can have the connection, the communication, the sexuality, and the lasting love that you desire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful. So thank you so much, Alana. And everyone, yeah, I highly recommend that you do the assessment. And again, you will find it on the page yourdivineuniqueness.com/Alana, yourdivineuniqueness.com/Alana, ALLANA. Or you can click on the assessments button, which is on the webcast page or on the replay page. And again, everyone, if you want to ask your question, if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your question on the question box. And if you are on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. And Alana, at the time we receive questions, I have a question about ways of the way we express love, because we express love differently. And in a relationship, we come in with expectation that when we do something to the other, we expect that they express love in some way. And if they don't, it feels like they don't love us, or they don't value what we did enough. But if we learn how they express love, we can understand them more deeply.
Yes. And so what is the question about that?
Yeah, I didn't ask a question. I
agree with what they're saying. Yeah, I agree with what they're saying, but what's the question?
Yeah, there is no question. Yes, so how... because there is some impatience during that process. So how can we maybe let go of our expectation and try to learn more about the others?
How they express that? Yes, okay. I understand. Yeah, thank you so much, Monsef. And thank you for the question, whoever asked. So whenever we have an expectation, then we have an attachment. And one of the greatest ways to take your power back is to let go of attachment and be grateful for what there is in front of you. And when you are able to let go of it looking the way you want it to look, and they give you, let's say, They make you dinner rather than say they love you. Or they clean your car and wax it and fill it with gas rather than hug you. They're doing these other actions rather than what you want. If you first don't judge them, don't judge yourself. If you can first let go of expectations and be grateful for the action, and you can literally drink in the energy of the action. Everything at the end of the day is energy. This is like science, quantum psychology. Everything's energy. You can learn to soothe little you inside your heart that wanted to hear the words or feel the hug. Soothe little you. Then open your heart and drink in the energy of them taking you for dinner or washing your car. And you can feel the energy of their care, feel the energy of their love. And you can also feel compassion that maybe in the past they hugged somebody that pushed them away. Maybe in the past they said, I love you, and someone said, I hate you. Maybe they're scared. So you can, one, soothe yourself. Two, receive the energy. Three, feel compassion that they're doing their best based on their wound. And then four, from all of those places, we use the sandwich. The sandwich has two pieces of bread, and then there's the center. So the first bread is, thank you so much for making me dinner. Thank you so much for cleaning my car. Middle of the sandwich. That made me feel, tell them the truth. So love, special, appreciated, cared for, etc. So first, acknowledge them. And then the second part in the middle of the sandwich is, can I speak from my heart? Permission, right? You ask for permission. They say yes. And then you could say, it would make me even happier if you could also give me a hug or tell me with your words or send me a card or text me how much you love me. It would make me even happier. And then you end the sandwich with more acknowledgement of what they did, because whatever you focus on expands, right? So, and again, thank you so much for being the best boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and taking such great care of me. That communication will not make them feel wrong or judged or not enough. They will feel acknowledged, and they'll be able to receive your invitation in the direction of the way that you love to be loved. Touch or words, they'll be able to receive it and start to shift their behaviors. But if you say instead, why do you never hug me? Why do you never say I love you? And they just went out of their way and spent 4 hours making you dinner. They're going to say, fuck you. They're not going to be happy. So be willing to take the high road. Be willing to do your inner work and be willing to invite, and things are going to go a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I really love that, because it's in a way we teach other about how we would love to receive love from them, and at the same time we really express our appreciation of what they did for us. So that's really, yeah, really amazing. Thank you so much, Anna. And I guess our audience are quiet today. So maybe they just enjoy what you are sharing. So thank you so much. It was really, really fun, very inspiring. I really love the call. It's a very important subject, and I really love your perspective about this and how you help people you work with to really go to the the root cause of the issues that we are experiencing in our relationships, and also bring in more harmony and more trust and more truth in the relationships. I love that, and thank you so much for all that you are doing.
Oh, thank you, Monsef. I appreciate all that you're doing. And I would lastly, if I may, just say to people, if they are really interested in finding the one, I encourage you to recognize it's going to require you becoming the one to find the one. I know this from two divorces. The only thing in common was me. And when I did the work on the inside to become the one, I found the most incredible partner. So please learn more about our world's first partnering app, where it's a community where we're all growing together, becoming the one. And so it's safe. You're not going to get ditched or ghosted or catfished or left as soon as you have that first tough conversation. You're going to meet people who are all committed to communicating this deeply, healing their wounds, being kind to each other so they can have lasting relationships. If that's what you're looking for, I really look forward to supporting you that way with our HeartMate app and telling lots of HeartMate happy stories of love. So I look forward to telling more stories of people falling in love. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's heartmate.app, right?
Correct. Heartmate.app is where you can apply. And we look forward to seeing you there and supporting you in finding the one.
Yeah. And also, thank you. Thank you so much, Alana. And also, everyone, you can also do the intimacy blind spots assessment or quiz on the link yourdivineuniqueness.com/Alana. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Alana. ALLANA. Or you can click on the assessment button, which is on the webcast page or on the replay page. And so again, thank you everyone for being here with us. Thank you for your presence and beautiful energies. And I will see you on the next call. And also thank you again, Alana.
Oh, thank you, Monsef. Much love to all of you.
Much love.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. If you'd like to listen to live episodes and interact with our speakers, you can go to yourdivineuniqueness.com, YOUR, divine, DIVINE, uniqueness, UNIQUENESS.com.